Let me open, let me stand. I think from heaven, this table land, I am glad that I am bound. Lord, grant my feet on higher ground. I want to stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
What a great day it is to be serving the Lord. Now, this program is called It's a Good Life, but I want you to know that it is a great life knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I'm glad you could be with me as we study the Word of God together. Now, if you recall, we're in the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 4, and I trust that you've been following along. And let me suggest something to you, that you have a pencil and a paper, an ink pen or a piece of paper, whatever you can take notes with, and write down some of the scriptures that I use as we go through this study. And also, may I suggest that you get you a cup of coffee, something to drink, a soft drink, water, whatever, and sit down and relax a little bit. Now, that is if you can. If you're in your car, of course, you can't do that. You can just listen. But if you're where you can listen and write something down and have a cup of coffee. Now, my pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom of Central Baptist Church, he says he doesn't like coffee. I've been praying for him that God will deal with his heart and he'll understand that coffee is Baptist gasoline, and it keeps us going. And of course, he is a Baptist, and I know that I believe he drinks tea. I don't like tea, but maybe he's praying for me that I like tea. But anyway, you need to be in a position there, wherever you're at, that you're comfortable and that you're able to listen to and study along with me as we look at the Word of God. Well, today we want to pick up our study in Ephesians chapter 4, and let me look at verse 7 with you, if you would, and I pray that you're able to have your Bible open as we study together. Verse 7, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Well, notice the term there, every one of us. This is speaking, of course, about every Christian. Every Christian is given grace according to the measure of the gift. Well, what is that? Well, grace is bestowed on all true Christians, and there is enough grace to enable them to live a life of righteousness. Well, what about the gift? Well, ordinarily, and understandably so, many of us who are saved read this verse and think of the greatest gift of all, and that is the gift of eternal life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And we see that, however, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7, it's not talking about the gift of eternal life, I do not believe. The gift, I believe, the gift spoken of in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7, is given after a person receives Christ as Savior, and the gift of grace and everything we have as a Christian has not originated with us, but with God. Well, that gift, we do receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but he's given himself to us. The gift, the true gift of the only gift that gives eternal life, and that is the gift of Jesus Christ. Well, notice it says that we're given a measure of that, a measure, the measure. There is not too much. And there's not too little, but just the right measure. Every Christian receives enough grace, and we're talking about grace here. Every Christian receives enough grace to enable him or her to live as they ought to live the Christian life. Now, I'm reminded of Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me," notice the word grace there again, "through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Sometimes we get the idea that we're better than somebody else, that we're better than an unsaved person, that we're better than the other saved person that we look at. But concerning the unsaved person, I'm no better than that person. I'm just better off. And as another Christian, as I look at another Christian, I'm no better than that other Christian. Because we all have a measure of faith. We're all saved the same way. Remember verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 4, it says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Well, the Bible teaches us that we are to use what God has given us for His glory. Not for our glory, but for His glory. Once again, the Bible tells us that we're to live soberly and righteously. And how can we live soberly? In other words, pay attention. In other words, be serious. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 talks about this in Ephesians chapter 4. Well, how can we forbear or tolerate one another? It says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Well, how in the world can we do the things in the Bible I just mentioned? How can we, because we look at this and we say as a human being, how am I going to be able to do this? How can I have long suffering? How can I endure patiently? How can I be mild-mannered? Well, we can do all things in the Bible I just mentioned because enough, that's the measure of God's grace, is granted to each one of us, each saved person, by Christ as a gift, to do what we need to do. The gift has been given to us just as eternal life was given to us, and God wants us to use the gift mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7 so we can be used of Him to be effective in our service to Him. And once again, it's all about bringing glory and honor to our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. We can do that. We can bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father because of Jesus Christ. Because He came into this world, He first loved us and gave Himself for us. And by doing so, once again, He rose from the grave. We know this. And by doing all of the things that He did, He brought honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. Well, notice there's enough grace for all of us. That is the gift of God. Well, now notice verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, wherefore, He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Well, now we're going to look in the next few verses about Him ascending up on high and leading captivity captive and about the gifts. But verse 8, I believe this would be speaking of Christ after His resurrection. And we have a reference to this passage in Psalm 68 and verse 18. And it says this, Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Now I'm going to spend some time in this study and possibly the next study as we get in further into the book of Ephesians chapter 4. But notice the term, when He ascended up on high. You see, Christ went to the high place. In other words, to His throne. Before Christ went up, He had to have come down. And the idea is that God, in Psalm 68:18, had descended or come down from His dwelling place, and that having now secured a victory by vanquishing His foes and having given deliverance to His people, He had now returned or rescinded, if I could use that term. He rescinded to His throne, and this means His throne in heaven. So not only do we see those things that I've just mentioned here, but I also see that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ ascended from heaven. He came to this earth. And that verse in Psalm 68:18 speaks of Jesus Christ, God. It boggles my mind how that someone could read the scriptures and not see Jesus Christ as God. Now, there are some people who just, they view Jesus Christ as a teacher, as one who not necessarily came from heaven, but one who was a teacher of the Bible, or a teacher telling people about God. And we see and we understand that these people are all around us, trying to confuse other people and taking them away from the salvation that everyone needs in order to go to heaven. Well, Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the one who came to seek and to save those who were lost. And Jesus Christ is a great teacher. He was a teacher while he was here, but he's also the Savior. You remember Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he said, Rabbi, teacher, could you tell me some things? And Jesus said, I'm going to tell you this, that you must be born again. You must come to a saving knowledge of knowing that you're on your way to heaven. And what he was getting at was this, you must believe on me. You must trust me. You must be born again through the Spirit. And that's how everyone in this world, anyone has ever and anyone will ever go to heaven, is by trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You must be born again. Jesus Christ was a great teacher while he was on this earth. He's also the Savior. But Jesus Christ is also a great teacher now. He's teaching us as we look into his word, the word of God, this book that I'm reading from, these verses that we're studying, they are God-breathed. They come from the mouth of God, from the very breath of God. He breathed these into existence just as he breathed the worlds into existence. And you say, well, God used a man. Well, that's true. But it's God's word. He breathed it. And God will not take his word back. It's here. It's never going to be done away with. No matter how Satan or man wants to get rid of God, get rid of his word, God's word and God will stand forever, 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 forever. There is no end. God's word will never end. It will never be done away with. Remember this in thinking of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. Remember, as we've been studying the epistle of Ephesians, that Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. Now, I'm reminded here that the body of Christ has a specific place for a specific work. In Romans chapter 12 and verses 4 and 5, it says for us, we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Well, notice 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 4 and 5, and it says, now, there are diversities of gifts. Here we are getting back to gifts again. But there are diversities of gifts. There's differences in gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Now, we're going to start here the next time when we're together, and I pray that you'll be able to listen and you'll be able to follow along as we study in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to see more about these gifts. We're going to see more about our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to see more about the Holy Spirit. And you need to be excited today of knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior and how that he's leading you along through his word. And if you've never trusted him as Lord and Savior, you need to be excited because you can be saved. For the grace of God is waiting for you to receive that gift, the grace of God, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't work your way to heaven. You must let Jesus Christ save you. Ask him to come into your heart today. Turn to him and ask him to save you today.